From Illinois Soul, this is Dialogue. I'm your host, Kennedy Vincent. Saturday mornings at 11 and Tuesdays at 6 p.m. Dialogue is an exchange about culture straight from the soul. Artivism, where activism and art intersect. You can see it in the intentional graffiti calling for justice, the murals that tell a local story, a play written with a purpose, and in the dance techniques chosen to move both body and mind. A very famous modern example of artivism is street artist Banksy. His monochromatic art style depicting satirical images with a political statement has become world-renowned. But you don't need a masked artist in the middle of the night to get to witness artivism firsthand. Here in Illinois, this intentional art form is being practiced and displayed all around us.
I'm not teaching traditional dance, but in all cases, dance reflects what a community or a society values. It houses the politics of that community. It houses the value system. It houses, you know, spirituality. It houses all of those narratives.
In today's episode of Dialogue, we take a look back at Black dance expression through the lens of artivism and meet some Illinois dancers who are using their art to create conversation. The term artivism came out of the Chicano and Zapatista's political art movements in the late 90s and grew from there. To better encompass the movement and intention, I'll quote famous artivist M.K. Asante from his book, It's Bigger Than Hip Hop. The artivist, artist plus activist, uses their artistic talents to fight and struggle against injustice and oppression by any medium necessary. The artivist merges commitment to freedom and justice with the pen, the lens, the brush, the voice, the body, and the imagination. The artivist knows that to make an observation is to have an obligation.
It took me a while to kind of language what it was that I wanted to do with my work. And while dance in itself as an art form and expression is sufficient and beautiful and all of those things, but I think the ability to make an impact in whatever community or people group that you want to speak to or, you know, tell stories about or uplift or center or push towards equity, I realized that I wanted my work to do that work as well. And so artivism was a word I came across. I was reading a book called It's Bigger Than Hip Hop by M.K. Asante. And that was the first time that I saw the word and then chose to adopt it as the language of how I wanted to speak about my work.
That's Vershawn Sanders, a highly decorated dancer with a BFA in dance from Columbia College in Chicago and an MFA from New York University. As the founding artistic director and CEO of Red Clay Dance Company in Chicago, Vershawn blends elements of African diasporic dance forms with modern techniques, crafting performances that are both visually stunning and intellectually stimulating. As a dancer who describes artivism as her purpose, I wanted to sit down with Vershawn to learn more about the movement and work that she creates.
When I started thinking about the company, which was in like 2007, it was important to me that it was rooted in something that was connected to my lineage, but it didn't have to be my name. And also I thought about place and where I first began to like think about and discovery, this idea of creativity and making and visioning. And that started in my childhood, right? And spending time in Alabama with my grandparents. Both of my parents and grandparents are from Mobile. That experience shaped and molded who I am, but also was a very like, it was a very stark reminder of like how vast the Black experience is, both in America, but also globally, right? And so where my family is from is called Africa Town. It was a community founded by the last group of enslaved Africans on American soil. And so I just wanted that name. So that the idea of the red dirt, the red clay, and, you know, back when kids played outside, like that was our playground. That was our place for visioning and creativity and whatever I wanted to make. Like, that was the resource that I had to make, even with no resources, right? I had that to kind of create and mold things. And so I wanted it to tie back to my beginning thoughts around creativity, play, place making, but also family locating where my roots were. And then in understanding those roots even tied to a larger global story.
I also hear when you just explained all of that, almost the inner child as well. Like you said, when we used to play, and I love that aspect because kids are so free and you're dancing and you're just doing those things. It's a beautiful aspect to tie into that. Why is activism so essential through our art and through this work that you do?
Yeah, I mean, I think art has always reflected who we are as society, right? What we see in our art is what we're typically are living or experiencing in that moment, or have experienced or desire to experience. I think that it is an amazing gateway or entry point for people to come in and have a shared experience about a thing, even if their backgrounds and what they've experienced prior to have been totally different, right? So thinking about walking into a theater, sitting down, experiencing art, and having that same experience with the person next to you that you may not know, that may not have, you know, the same upbringing, but it's a starting point to a conversation. I think art leads to dialogue and conversation around, what is this? What are we seeing? What are you feeling? What are you experiencing? What do you think that means, right? Whereas walking up to someone on the street, you may not feel comfortable having those kind of conversations, but knowing that we experience something together at the same time that we're trying to draw meaning from is where I think art uniquely services our community in that way that no other structure does. That's the best word I can think of. So it is unique in the way that it can bring people together around a certain idea, but it can also ignite conversations that can go deeper.
When you blend African diasporic dance forms with contemporary techniques, what are you preserving when you're doing that? And what are you also transforming and evolving through that movement?
What I've learned is that many of the dance forms that we know and love are heavily shaped by Africa and the diaspora, right? Almost all vocabularies have a root from that as African dance as an ancient dance form, and the diaspora is simply how those forms moved around the world as we as people moved. Culturally, you know, dance is a way that we hold our history, we hold our stories, we archive and maintain those in the body. So the fusion of it for me is to ensure that it stays relevant to our time and to our lived experience, that it's not static. It's definitely a reflecting back to tradition, but it has room to grow and expand as we, as people, as embodied beings, grow and expand. As we learn more about ourselves, as we learn more about how this body moves, and also how this body changes due to environment, we have to keep the dance relevant so that people can continue to see themselves in it. I think the moment it starts to die or is a dead thing, there's no possibility for continued preservation. So it's part preservation, and it's also ensuring that it moves forward. And for me, I think as a trained dancer, I appreciate the linearness or the formality of some dance forms. I think it builds strength, and it definitely can build like kind of clean lines as the body moves through space. But diasporic movement also has polyrhythms. It also has dynamics. It just feels full body to me. And so I love the fusion of the two. And it's a way that I've found to pay homage or preserve both like linkages or lineages of my dance training.
I don't know. void is changing your levels, right? Some of you going up, down, up, down. And I'd rather you, once you descend into this position, I'd rather you work here.
You don't need to be in a big city to find artivism or traditional African techniques being preserved. Right in our backyard is the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign High School Summer Dance Intensive. Here, high school students can choose from African dance, musical theater, modern, and other techniques for a week of immersive dance experience. I had the opportunity to attend the African dance class, where they were focusing on the traditional Mufundale technique of African dance. The class was led by master teacher and associate professor in the Department of Dance and African American Studies, Dr. Kamal Nance, where he is keeping this tradition dance alive and passing it down to a new generation.
Mufundale is a contemporary African dance technique developed by the late Kariamu Welsh, and it's about 55 years old. It emerges from the Black Arts Movement out of New York. It's a contemporary African dance practice that bases on the premise that African dance can live and breathe wherever African people reside. And so that opens up Africa to not only the continent, but wherever Black people are within the diaspora. And it's a contemporary form at that. It's vital, it's alive, it's polyrhythmic, it's polycentric, it's body-centric, and it's the movement practice that I've been trained in most of my life.
I wanted to ask you about some of the words that you were saying with those movements kind of in the middle of the class.
They were doing the Kananga arm series, and it's a progression that is demarcated by truncated Kiswahili, so each of the syllables are a syllable of an actual word that means a number from 1 to 7 in Kiswahili. The movement practice, the movement progression itself, is inspired by the Dogon headdress of West Africa, which is an angular contraption that they wear in their head during spiritual practices. And so the brilliant late Dr. Kariamu Welsh was inspired by that cultural artifact and developed an arm series that emulates that in a lot of ways. Then its function in the class is not only to kind of achieve the different positions of the arms, but it's also this notion of pulling on a life force to imbue it with meaning and to imbue it with power, which we do a lot within Mufundale. So,
do you mind just repeating the sequence of words?
Ja, li, tu, ne, no, ta, ba.
One of the stories through the movement of expression that you were teaching in the class to some of the students was about the national bird. Was that? Could you explain more of that movement?
Dr. Kariamu created this movement called the Hungwe. And for anybody who's taken a Mufundale class, the Hungwe is classic. It's a signature movement of this movement practice. And so she named this, originally it was called the swoop, but she named it after the national bird of Zimbabwe, which is the Hungwe. And she herself, of course, as a part of her own training, had spent a few years living in Zimbabwe because she was the first artistic director of the national company. And so that's the connection. The dance that I was teaching today was one of the signature core movements of the Mufundale dance technique, and it's called the Hungwe. It's a whole progression.
So how do traditional African dances connect us to the communities and the cultures that they come from?
Well, it's a loaded question. I'm not teaching traditional dance, but in all cases, dance reflects what a community or a society values. It houses the politics of that community. It houses the value system. It houses, you know, spirituality. It houses all of those narratives. Mufundale is different in the sense that, it's no different in the sense that we tell those stories too with it as a movement practice, but it's not, people don't access it the same way you would in traditional dance. You know, you have to seek it out. And so I guess Mufundla, in that regard, is a sign of the times. It speaks to and comments on what's happening, and this is what Dr. Kariyama would always say, that it speaks to, discusses, and comments on what's happening to Black people all across the world. Now, in terms of traditional dance in the community, it varies on what the dance is and its purpose.
Like Dr. Nance, mentorship and passing the torch is one of the biggest parts of cultural dance preservation that Vershawn brings to her company at Red Clay.
What conversations do you have with your dancers about the cultural weight of piece that you're working on and the responsibility that they have to carry when they go on stage and when they are performing these works as well?
Yeah, I mean, during the audition process, we talk a lot about storytelling. I mean, our audition process is typically a 2-day process and an interview. I need to know more about you as a person than what I'm seeing in the studio for 2 hours. Like, what I need to know more about you and what stories are you interested in telling, right? Do you consider yourself a storyteller? What stories do you hold? And how do you approach holding those and experience with doing that sort of work? Those are some of the questions that come up for me. And when it's something that is either culturally specific or has a historical resonance, like it's a real life story, we typically start the process with that information. So I will front load, articles or books or, whatever writings I have around the work itself so that it is, that we're speaking the same language coming in the door. And I realize that dramaturgy work is like become just a part of our creative process. Like there's no way to even do it without it. But that typically that is the beginning of the process is what is the work? What is the goal as a collective that we're wanting to say through this work? And then individually, how are you supporting that story? Do you have an entry point for this? If it's beyond you, what tools or what do you need to talk through to find your entry point? And that's something that we've done collectively together as a group many times.
You may think as a listener that most art, if not all, is political. And that didn't begin in the 90s, but where artivists like Vershawn highlight about this movement is the intentionality behind every aspect of their work. Vershawn's activism doesn't end at performing traditional African dance. Her activism is shown in how she leads her company, the song choices, the way she communicates with her dancers. That is her artivism.
Again, it's another gift and responsibility. I think about what type of space would I have wanted as a young Black dancer? What are the things inside of those spaces and that I would have wanted to see? Representation is one. Like, I want to see myself reflected back. But I also want to see room and space for growth and possibility. And mentorship in a way that's challenging and is accountable, but is not destructive, demeaning, or extractive. Definitely honoring the gifts that they bring into the space as individuals while also uplifting the collective, because we are a company and we're not a project, right? We have dancers that come on for a season. So one of the things that we talk about, which I learned during a leadership institute by Urban Bush Women, a dance company based out of Brooklyn, New York, is this idea of entering, building, and exiting community. And so when I think about each season, right, sometimes we have returning dancers, new dancers. How are we entering this community together? How are we building community within the company? And then if there is a transition, how are we exiting? And what I've learned is that exiting of that iteration of the village, because you never really get away from Red Clay, but as you exit that inner iteration of the village, what does that exit look like? And how are those tentacles, or how are you still connected? And I think what I experience is kind of, once you're done with that part of the organization, it's kind of like, all right, on to the next. And, thanks for your time. But it doesn't have to be. there's opportunities to stay in relationship even once the transition out of that, the company structure. But the entering, building, exiting community. And then other thing we really talked about is individual artivism, right? What does artivism look like to you in this space, but also in other areas of your artistic practice? Because we have dancers that work in other spaces. So once you have taken that pledge of being an artivist, right, how do you employ that in all of the other areas and spaces that you are connected to?
On the other side of the conversation, Dr. Nance teaches a class where people from different backgrounds join the class to learn from him. He's been teaching at UIUC Summer Dance Intensive for about 5 years now. And I wanted to know why it's important for young people to learn Mufundale, regardless of race.
You know, like the same thing I would say about the world. I think there are a myriad of stories, there are a myriad of cultural lenses with which you could look at the dancing body. And unfortunately, in this country and across the world, people are been force-fed this idea that the dancing body has to look a specific way, specifically as it comes out of European ways of looking at the body. And so, and nothing's wrong with ballet and American modern dance, European modern dance. These are all beautiful forms. Equally as beautiful is the movement practices that comes out of the other traditions of Black people and of Africa and Asia and, you know, India and so forth and so on. And so people should know about Mufundala because they should know about any other practice about moving the dancing body. And I think, and specifically because this movie narrates the story of Black people, particularly African-American people, it's a part of their culture. If you're, particularly if you're an American citizen, or even if you aren't, it's a part of world culture. It's a part of, you know, of what we experience as we learn how to dance. So, yeah.
Yeah. As a master teacher, how do you view your role in preserving and protecting and passing on Mufundala, this African dance tradition? You know, as you teach these classes, you are nurturing the next generation. And I guess, what does that feel like and look like to you to pass that torch in a sense?
Well, it's an interesting question. It's exhausting, but in all the right ways. I do feel an incredible sense of purpose. You know, a lot of people don't get direct instructions from the people who bequeathed them information. My teacher was really clear about I was supposed to move this stuff forward. And so that comes with a lot of satisfaction every time I do something well, or every time I see a person fall in love with the technique, or when I see somebody do something well and they didn't know how to move their bodies that way before knowing me or knowing the experience. That's satisfying. It's very satisfying. I often find pressure too. There's a lot of people who look up to me, not just locally in the Illinois dance community, but across the country. There are people who look up to me to preserve this and to move it forward. So it's a myriad of things. I regret none of it. I'm blessed to be a part of this tradition and honored to be positioned to do so.
Yeah. How do you make sure that these young dancers coming into this space are ready to receive? It's not your job to make sure they're ready to receive, but through your teaching and through them understanding some of these core principles, what is that energy like within the room, just for them to be a sponge and to really soak up these lessons?
Well, I can't take responsibility for what they receive. I can't take responsibility for how ready they are. All I can do is present the information that I think makes sense to their minds, you know. So I try to be as engaging as possible. I try to relate it to things that I think they could relate to, and pray that something sinks in or something, they latch hold of something. I think I'm successful at it because the indication for me is that the enthusiasm and the smiling and the gratitude that they express to me seems like it's working. But it's a shot in the dark in many ways, you know, particularly dealing with young people.
What do you wish people understood about the healing power of movement, particularly within Black communities?
That's a good question. I wish people realized that it is a space of healing. I think we know it conceptually, but we don't allow ourselves to live into it. And I hate to bring this up in this part in the interview, but particularly when it comes to the way we raise gendered human beings, right? Like, we allow our young women and, you know, people who identify as female to go into dance space and feel its organic energy. We don't do as much. We don't encourage our boys to do that. And I think as a Black community, we've bought too much into what we've learned from a larger white society about this kind of differentiation of dance being, you know, less than masculine. And that's not who we are as Black people, as descendants from Africa. That's not who we are. That's not, that's an antithesis to our cultural ontology. So I wish we would unlearn that and create spaces for more people to dance and for dancing to be more integral. It's definitely a part of our religious experiences. It can be part more of our cultural experiences and in many different facets. I think we need to allow that to happen more now.
Beyond being a master teacher in Mofondole and a professor at UIUC, Dr. Nance also directs the Nance Dance Company. His company is an all-male dance initiative that produces dance work about Black manhood, allowing his artivism to explore the role of gender in dance spaces. When Black expression is nurtured in spaces to liberate and remind us where we come from, we can remember what artivism looks like in all areas of our artistic practice. Artivism is not just the product, it is also within the creation. To close out our conversation, here's Vershawn.
What do you want people to understand about the intellectual depth and the cultural significance of African diasporic dance that might often be overlooked in mainstream or predominantly white spaces?
I mean, our dances are coded language, and it's intentional. It was intentional to maintain and hold truths about ourselves that were being marginalized and erased. And even today, right? Even today, as we sit here in this conversation, there is a concentrated effort to suppress or erase certain cultural practices. And the contributions that were made to shape, hold, grow what we know as dance and art and culture today, like, the intellectualness to me is the understanding of the blend as a mover, especially as someone that's doing it as a career, the physicality of it, along with the mental and creative stamina. And that is not found in every practice. And so I think dance specifically is so unique in the way that it has to train the body, the mind, and the soul. All of that has to be attended to. And so while in the audience, you may see, oh my goodness, wow, these dancers are, they're flying all over, da, da, da. And there's that piece, but there's also the knowledge of knowing how to safely move the body, how to be aware of other bodies in space, the spatial awareness, the physical awareness, while I'm also thinking about narrative and storytelling, why I'm also thinking about environment and space. Like, there's so much going on in a dancer's mind in that moment that is being synthesized so intelligently that it's almost mind-boggling, right? It's just almost mind-boggling to sit and think about all of those things that are happening in real time. And then also being responsive to what's happening in real time, right? So that awareness to have to be so present every moment, that I think is the thing that I want people to understand about this practice and this form, and to cherish it as a place of archive, of memory, of culture, of story, of proof, of lived experience. Like, it has such a a vital place for us in our humanness.
From Illinois Soul, I'm Kennedy Vincent.